From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area and Marin County. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, and some of the characters who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. My guest on today's field trip is writer and historian Barry Spitz. Spitz is the undisputed authority on the trails of Mount Tamalpais, which we locals call Mount Tam. When I came to Marin County in the early 1990s, I looked up at Mount Tam and I thought I should hike some of those trails. I bought Barry Spitz's book, Tamalpais Trails, and I set off. It proved to be a valuable resource, listing the approximately 160 trails and fire roads, grouped first into trailheads and then alphabetically. It's a very comprehensive tool, listing mileages, terrain, intersections, and directions to each trailhead's start point, and finally, a full description of each trail. He'd obviously researched this mountain well, and he has a love for it too. He quotes John Muir's love of the mountain on the opening page, and he dedicated the book to his late sister, Seidel. Spitz is somewhat of an icon in Marin County. Aside from his Mount Tam book, he's also written 6 local history and outdoors books. He wrote a weekly column on running for the Marin County Independent Journal, and he leads hikes through his own Rambling with Barry hike series. One of his books is entitled Dipsy, The Greatest Race, about the oldest cross-country race in the United States, the famous Dipsy Race, for which, for the past 30 years, he's been the finish line announcer. I was recently at a lecture that Spitz gave about the former winners of the Dipsy Race, and when he was showing slides of them and talking about them, he was often visibly misty-eyed and choked up. You could tell that these people and their accomplishments are very close to his heart. So let's talk to him about all of this stuff. Please welcome to the field trip Barry Spitz. Welcome, Barry.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Pleasure to talk with you.
Same here. Well, first off, we just had the Dipsy Race yesterday. Were there any surprises this year?
Well, it was a close finish. There usually aren't many shockers in the race because you have to be one of the very best in the nation to have a chance. So those people are kind of identified. And Diana Fitzpatrick, who won, was my pick for second place, but she was first. And my pick for first, Brian Pilcher, was third. And right in between them was a Sausalito runner, Chris Lundy, who was second last year. So it wasn't a shock, but it was wonderful to see a close race, which we haven't had very many of them.
Well, we'll get back to talking about the Dipsy, but first let me ask you this. Why is Mount Tamalpais so special to you and to the Bay Area? And how did you get into this interest in Mount Tam trails?
Well, I moved to the Bay Area in 1970 and to Marin in 75, and I had just started getting into bird watching in the early 70s. Just had bought a book on birds and my binoculars, and was looking at a great blue heron, which I didn't even know what it was, when this German lady comes to a screeching halt and jumps out of her car and says, "Have you seen the yellow-billed loon?" It's a bird that was only the second sighting in California. And I didn't know what she was talking about, but we spent the day together, and this lady, Marie Manns, was the greatest naturalist I've ever met, and I started going out with her and seeing the wonders of nature, and right here in my backyard and Mount Tam. And I started getting in running, exploring it even more, and it hasn't stopped ever since.
I'm assuming that you've actually measured the trails.
Yes, with a wheel, measuring wheel, and measured every one of them. I even did it more than once as I updated Tamalpais Trails. And now we have GPS, and I don't think I need to do the wheel anymore. I hope I didn't. It started to get to be a bit of a hassle, but I did it.
Well, there are some funny trail names. For example, the Old Stove, the Cross Country Boys, the Bullfrog, the Old Plain Music Camp. What's the cross country boys about?
Well, there was an old hiking club called the Cross Country Boys. It was generally an old boys network. There were a couple of women, famous women hikers like Alice Eastwood, but it kind of was mostly men. And that's deep on the north side, which is my favorite part of the mountain. And I tried to explain the origin of every trail. A fellow named Fred Sandrock did some wonderful research on that. He's passed on. And so I tried to tell a story in each chapter on how the trails got its name.
I've been to a number of places where there are pieces of downed aircraft. Talk a bit about those.
You know, I went to a talk by a water district ranger who specializes in that, and the number of crashes is astounding. We forget that in World War II, you know, there weren't that many flyers, and they had to be trained in a hurry, and the aircraft technology wasn't all there. There were a lot of crashes, and several on Mount Tam, several fatal. And there are engines that still to be found in wreckage. There are now signs saying it's a federal offense to remove any of that, thank God, because much has been removed, and that is an ongoing problem on Tam, that some of these historic artifacts are being taken away. Hopefully that will stop.
Who are the Down and Outers?
That's another old hiking group. I don't know much about them. I don't think anybody does anymore. But it's a colorful name, Down and Outers Club. And these clubs had their own special sites where they stored their utensils and sleeping bags and other gear, and came on the weekend, as I mentioned, by ferry and train, and came back to their spots, retrieved it, and spent the weekend on the mountain and went home.
Now, there was also an old mine, wasn't there?
Yes, the old mine trail. There's a recreation of the original sign. It was an unsuccessful gold mine. Never yielded much or anything, but there was a claim. And the old mine trail, I'm very happy. I was just on it the other day. Two special things about it. Number one, the state park made it wheelchair accessible to go to a really spectacular view spot, so wheelchair users can get to that. And it also now leads to this brand new fountain that was just installed on the top of Cardiac on the Dipsey Trail. So a couple of reasons to visit the old mine trail.
Well, let me ask you this. How did the gold rush impact Mount Tam?
Enormously. All the trees were cut. The handful that were left were in Muir Woods, and you see a few giants, which I'm always curious about why they were left, whether the loggers had some good feeling or there was some reason they're just a handful were left. So that's one enormous impact. The mountain also was a lot of grazing to feed San Francisco. All the land got divided up. It already had been, but it changed hands quite a few times. So, and a lot of people were in San Francisco, and it was accessible by ferry. They didn't really start coming in right after the gold rush as far as hiking, but Mount Tam was impacted very heavily. It went from very sleepy to not so sleepy in a hurry.
And how about the earthquake in San Francisco? How did that impact Mount Tam?
That was the second great one, and the third was the Golden Gate Bridge. Those three brought people here. The earthquake, a lot of San Franciscans came here right away just to get away from the fire and their homelessness, and they said, this is a pretty nice place. And the population really spiked right after the San Francisco earthquake and fire, and then again, after the Golden Gate Bridge opened, it was delayed a little bit by World War II, but right after that, the population really boomed. Subdivisions sprouted everywhere, and that's when the real efforts to preserve Mount Tam took hold and succeeded.
So a lot of the trees that were formerly on Mount Tam were logged to build initially San Francisco, and then to rebuild San Francisco. Is that what happened?
Right, there were fires, and they built ships, and and firewood. It started in the Spanish era. I mean, Corta Madera, cut wood, is the Spanish name. There's an account of an 1819 expedition here by the Spanish to cut the redwoods, which were growing almost right down to the water in Corta Madera, and bring it back to San Francisco. And it wasn't so easy. It was kind of a perilous crossing, and there's a wonderful account survives of how the Spanish were getting wood from Marin to work on the Presidio in San Francisco.
Well, what's the history of dam building on Mount Tam?
Well, that has really changed the face of Mount Tam. The first one was Lake Lagunitas in 1873 to bring water to a subdivision in San Rafael and to San Quentin Prison. And then in 1912, the voters of Marin were the first county to pass a Municipal Water District Act. We created the Marin Municipal Water District, which their first project was Alpine Dam, completed in 1919. That was supposed to solve Marin's water problems forever. We had so much water, we were shipping it out to the sugar refineries in Crockett on the Carquinez Strait. But after the bridge, and we talked about how much growth there was need for more. So the same creek, Lagunitas Creek, that was dammed for Lagunitas Dam and Alpine Dam was dammed again for Bon Tempe Dam, and then again for Peters Dam, creating Kent Lake. So there are now four dams on that same creek, and that has altered the ecology of Tam. But people love the lakes, so it's a trade-off.
Well, let's get back to the Dipsy Race, Barry, and your book, Dipsy, the Greatest Race. Talk about some of the characters who've run the race. Now, one of them is my old pal Roy Harvey.
Oh, right, you know him. I know he finished yesterday. I just read it. I had actually moved on. I forget how old he is. You would know better. 80-something.
I think he's 87.
87. So he's the oldest finisher. It's curious. I had to move on to my, after announcing the finishers, I had to go and do the award ceremony, and someone from the newspaper said, "Has Roy Harvey finished yet?" And I said, "I hadn't seen him yet." But then I read that he did, so I'm happy to read that. He's on his way to, the record is, I think, 95 by Jack Kirk, the fellow who ran every single one from 1930 to 2004. I think it was 67 in a row because the Dipsy missed a couple of years. Maybe Roy could surpass that, although it gets tougher and tougher each year. So he's a character, Jack Kirk, a character. I gave a talk at the Mill Valley Library, the one you went to, and I think you got a feel that the race is filled with characters who running the Dipsy, winning the Dipsy, has meant so much to them, to their families, for generation after generation. And we have come to revere these people. And
who's the youngest winner?
A Mill Valley girl named Riley Johnson, who ran in the race Sunday. She won it at 8. There was another couple of girls at 9, boys 9 and 10. You know, they get head starts. That's part of the reason the Dipsy is so special. It has made winners of 8-year-old girls and 72-year-old men, and a 73-year-old man led most of the way yesterday until he was passed. And that's part of the appeal. And then, of course, the danger of the race, the tricky course, and with younger runners who start behind having to pass, it adds up to a different race than all the other ones, and why I call it the greatest race, and so many other people do too.
Well, what other winners can you think of that have interesting stories?
Well, you'll be on the air a long time if you let me go on with that one, but
a couple of the big ones.
For example, Diana Fitzpatrick, who won yesterday. I don't know her all that well. I've known her for some years, though, and I know she's tried for many, many years. She's been running this race. Has an outstanding record spanning at least 20 and maybe even more years. Has done well. Starting now, she's in 53, getting more time. And finally, it all came together. So this is a race that unlike others, you still have a chance over the decades, where other races, of course, you have a very short window. But perseverance here, she persevered and trained hard and won yesterday.
Well, that's part one of my interview with writer and historian Barry Spitz. Please tune in next week for part two. Well, thanks for joining me today on The Field Trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that The Field Trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at noon on cable channel 26, on your computer at radiosausalito.org, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends. And if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.